This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis chose to play the 147th best Billy Joel song coming out of the break, and I appreciate that. He's got a lot of great songs. You can take that for what it's worth. The last time we spoke with Elliot Johnson, we were lauding his success against now former Angels manager Joe Maddon after he was fired. Maddon was at that point with the Tampa Bay Rays, one of the many teams that Elliot Johnson starred for. And he joins us to talk about another Angels manager. How are you, Elliot?
Everything's good. Watching a little baseball today. Looking forward to hearing what we got on the docket today, Adam. I'm sure it's going to be a good show.
Oh, sure. All right, let's talk about the Angels and Mariners got into a legitimate fight over the weekend. There was a pitch that buzzed the tower of Mike Trout the night before. Everybody was angry, justifiably so. One of the best players in the game, nearly getting hit in the head, is certainly going to raise a few eyebrows, among other things. And then the next day, the Angels threw twice at Mariners batters early in the game. There was a pitch that I forget who got hit in the back of the leg, which is frankly okay if you're going to hit somebody. But so then we had a real fight. And in fact, one of the Angels got hurt. I think their closer fractured an elbow, a fracture of a bone in his elbow. So that's bad. Have you ever been in a brawl like that?
No, usually it's just pushing, shoving, and barking, you know.
Right.
Because the most embarrassing thing that could happen is you get hurt from the scrum.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for Bradley, you know, because you want to go out there and you want to support your guys, but you don't want to get hurt, you know. And every doctor will tell you after you get into a scrum like that, next time use your off throwing hand if you throw a punch. But he got hurt falling off the railing on his way into the scrum, Adam. So. That's going to be – he's going to have a tough – you know, he's going to be looking at his shoes walking through the clubhouse here for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
He didn't even get hurt in the fight. He got hurt on the way to the fight. But it's still – it speaks to the issue that baseball is the only sport where, in a way, that's condoned. Yeah, guys got suspended. For the most part, suspensions are – with 162 games, you're not going to make a suspension really stick. I mean, really matter, unless you suspend somebody for 20 games, which maybe that would be a smarter thing. But how did these things start? Now, yes, it started the night before with Mike Trout. How much weight do you give to the managers involved here? Phil Nevin, who's an interim manager for the Angels, he got a 10-game suspension. Maybe that's not even enough. How much weight do you put on Phil Nevin's part in this?
Well, it actually comes even above him. So think about this is inside the division, okay? Neither team is meeting expectations,
right?
Okay? So, I mean, it's just like every other organization. The owner starts putting pressure on their right-hand person, man or woman, and then they put pressure, and there's that trickle-down, okay? So neither owner is happy with things at this point. They invest a lot of money and they have high expectations, and those expectations aren't getting met. Both the teams aren't playing well. Both the teams aren't going to be in the playoffs. And I can just speak as, let's just say that the Mariners started. I hate to do a childhood playground thing. They started it.
Right.
Here we are. If you throw at your best player, anyone's best player, I can promise you that Nevin, whomever's in charge, if he doesn't retaliate, he actually loses way more respect than when he does. And this is just the way the game works, okay? So, you know, we're not playing this game in the big leagues where, oh, it was just an accident. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The fans need to understand. It doesn't matter if it was an accident or on purpose.
Right.
If you throw at Mike Trout or our best player or, you know, really anyone, if you have a really good team with a good culture, if they throw at you for any reason, there is retaliation. It's just the way the things work, okay? Now, you may not like it, but an eye for an eye exists, okay? So maybe after that, the Mariners take it too far or the Angels take it too far by, you know, hey, you buzzed our guy's tower after we buzzed yours. We should be even. And this is always where these scrums begin because the Mariners feel like you guys took it too far. The message was received. We got it. but now you can't drill us. However, I'll give the Angels credit for hitting him in the butt, because getting hit in the butt cheek is by far the best place to get drilled. Speaking from experience, it's easily the best place. So that was a professional hit job, if you want to call it one.
Yeah, so what I don't get is why we had, if both sides understand that, why did what happened happen?
So they wanted to exact a little bit more. The Angels wanted to exact more than the Mariners felt was due, and they weren't going to feel satisfied until they drilled somebody. And once they drilled Jesse, he felt like, obviously, that it was over. The Angels didn't, and that's why we have a disagreement where we're going to throw, you know, we're going to throw hands at each other.
And
so
then
here we are.
And then we're going to throw sunflower seeds onto the field, which was
that was a bit much. But the way that it works, that's the problem, is one side's going to feel like we're even, the other one's not, and that's why obviously it gets taken to that point, because it's not like there's an exchange table where it's like, hey, you good? We good? You're not good until it gets played out on the field, and you never know how far it's going to go, because even if a manager says to go ahead and hit somebody, the bullpen or whoever has the ball is actually the one that's going to execute on that. And so you never know what kind of conversations are happening in the bullpen. But I can tell you, the teams that are really good teams are the ones that look out for each other, and they don't even need the manager to say anything. They just do it on their own.
Elliot Johnson is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, to a situation that you and I talked about, gosh, this is now, what, 3 months ago, maybe more. Freddie Freeman never wanted to leave the Braves, and ultimately left the Braves. They couldn't come to an agreement on a contract. The more we read about this, the more we realize what happened. It comes back to Atlanta. I have never been moved by a baseball player's press conference as I was listening to Freddie Freeman try to answer questions in front of the Braves media at a press conference. And then the outpouring of love from the fans to Freddie was just incredible, you know, when he received his World Series ring. And now he fired his agent. Casey Close was his lead agent. I believe Casey Close was Derek Jeter's agent forever with the Yankees.
Correct.
Over a poor contract negotiation session. I guess the best can do a poor job. Is that how you read this, that Casey Close did a poor job?
No, so I'm going to take it a different direction. I know we're in Braves country, and maybe this will create some interest on your end.
Okay.
Look, you're in charge, okay? Your guy is going to give you advice. He is going to broker a deal. He's going to survey the market. He is going to tell you what the market is telling him, okay? Freddie ultimately is in charge of that decision. He is the CEO of his own corporation, and you could say that Casey is the CFO if you'd like. Okay?
Right. Okay.
He's the deal guy. He's going to bring him the deals as they come in. He's going to broker it. But the person that gives the thumb up or thumbs down ultimately is the player. We all know that Freddie wants to be in Atlanta, okay? Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You know, it's all posturing one way or the other. He clearly wants to be there. His emotions speak for itself. He's wearing them on his sleeve, okay? Clayton Kershaw, who's one of the, you know, best humans, best competitors in the game, if he's saying something publicly, it's because what he said privately hasn't materialized out on the field. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So the fact that we're even here speaks to the fact that Freddie should have taken the deal that the Braves offered him, whatever it is, 5 for $130, take the deal, okay, and move on with your life, okay? But he didn't do it. He wanted to test the market, and it's like musical chairs. You know, when the music stops, you've got to have a place to sit. The problem is that he said no to the Braves. The Braves, Anthopoulos, give him credit. He spun, went and got Matt Olson from the A's, and that seat got taken. Rizzo took the spot with the Yankees. I think the Blue Jays even traded and found somebody that they were looking for. So the only thing left was the Dodgers. Not that it's a bad deal, but a lot of that money is deferred.
Yep.
But ultimately, Freddie had to make that decision early on, and it's not like the Braves were going to hold the door open for him the entire time. You know, Anthopoulos has to do what's best for the Braves. He moved on, gave the deal to Matt Olson, and we are where we are. So, you know, a lot of times it's a lot of poker, but at the same time, I think Freddie thought they were going to be able to keep everything open, and they were going to come down to the deadline, and it didn't work that way. And so now he's got to live with it.
So this is on Freddie, not on Casey Close, but Casey Close got as Freddie Freeman moved on. The numbers ultimately from the Braves would have been, I believe, 140 over 5, and that would have been a better deal than he ultimately got, even though it was for one more year with the Dodgers, which comes out to 162 over six, but 57 million of that money is deferred.
He's still going to get his 5% of that because he brokered the deal.
Right.
So he may be operating under a different representation, but he's still going to have to pay the fee to Excel and Casey Close.
That's going to be a tough check to write. If he even writes a check, it's probably direct deposited and it's probably already taken care of. All right, final thing. Are the Yankees this good?
Clearly they are, man. How about Trevino? Aaron Judge betting on himself is fun.
Phenomenal.
Good grief. I mean, that's been the best storyline, thankfully.
Yep.
And, you know, as much as I was raised properly to hate the Yankees, in a lot of ways, you have to respect what they're doing. Clay Holmes is brilliant. You know, what Cashman's done has been pretty good. I hate giving these guys credit because they really don't need it.
Right.
But they deserve all the respect in the world. Hopefully it ends here pretty soon and we can stop talking about them. But unfortunately, we have to. And they are very real. They are very good. And, you know, I think they still – they're probably going to even make some acquisitions here.
Oh, sure.
That up.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question. And the second best team in baseball might be the Houston Astros. That's going to hurt. Yeah, I'm not going to – you're not even going to respond to it. You're just going to let – yeah, fine. Say what you want. I don't want to talk about the Astros.
Yeah, look, Jordan Alvarez is unbelievable. he should not have signed that contract because he's worth way more. That guy's unbelievably good. And, you know, Pena's back. He's healthy. I don't think he's as good as Correa, but he's exciting to watch. So we'll see how they end up down the stretch. But obviously you have to take those guys serious because they are good.
Elliot Johnson, you're the best, man. I appreciate your time. I'll talk to you very soon.
All right, Adam. We'll see you.
You got it. Elliot Johnson here on the Adam Gold Show. He hates the Astros.
I didn't notice. I couldn't tell.
And I'm okay with hate.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
Hate's fine.
It's all right. Like, I don't think he would, like, if they were stranded on the side of the road, drive past them.
He might.
He might. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you might be right there. Before we get to the rewind. So, in the category of we should be tired of talking about this. And we are sort of, I mean.
That's an ESPY category.
I am not going to get tired of talking about issues that pertain to sports I care about. So there will always be time where we will talk about, it seems, the same thing over and over and over again. Like, how many times have we talked about Baker Mayfield?
Too many.
Way too many, right? Mm-hmm. But people are interested in football, in the Panthers, so I get it. Less people, I should say fewer people, are interested in professional golf, and I understand that. I am wildly interested in it. So LIV versus the PGA Tour speaks to me because it is an interesting story in a sport that I care a lot about. With that said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it is something we talk about, it seems, every day. But yesterday, truth was spoken. And I think it's good to point out truth. In the first set of press conferences in London, we were making fun of all of the evasiveness from people, right? You know, we're just trying to, it's not really about this. Like, nah, man, it's about money. That's okay. It's fine for it to be about money. And yesterday, they introduced three new players. Brooks Koepka, Pat Perez, Patrick Reed. We're all at the podium, having their introductory interview. And in the case of Koepka and Perez, really spoke truth, and I appreciate that because that's what this should be. Look, we can sit here all day long and talk about whether or not what these players are tacitly doing, taking Saudi money, is a good thing or not. But that's not really for us that much. I mean, to an extent it is, but I'm not interested in having that conversation. I'm interested in having it about the sport. So Koepka was asked essentially, here's a guy who's had major surgeries. He was asked essentially why he's doing this, and here was his answer.
Just my opinion, man. My opinion changed. That was it. What I've had to go through the last 2 years on my knees, the pain, the rehab, all this stuff, you realize, you know, I need a little bit more time off. I'll be the first one to say it. It's not been an easy last couple of years. And I think having a little more breaks, a little more time at home to make sure I'm 100% before I go play an event, I don't feel like I'm forced to play right away. And that was a big thing for me. And talking to guys, everybody that came back that I spoke to, DJ, my brother, Phil, everybody was very, I had nothing but great things to say. So, you know, take it from their word and the schedule. And there's a lot of things that went into my decision.
So he's had a bunch of injuries. He's only played 3 times since in the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. He's played 3 events. He played all 3 majors, played the Masters, played the PGA, and played the U.S. Open, and didn't play really all that well in any of them. His body is just, its body is breaking down. So, yes, Brooks Koepka is a 4-time major champion, but Brooks Koepka also could be a 4-time major champion whose body will not allow him to play. So I'm not saying that that should change your opinion of what the LIV Tour is or what it's trying to do. I'm just saying that it makes it more understandable that Koepka can make more money for less work, which is, frankly, should be a goal for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Make the most money we can for the least amount of work.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
If I were to, let's say, Adam, you do a show 15 hours a week.
Right.
You're on air live. That doesn't count all the prep stuff.
Sure.
But you're on 15 hours. Okay, we're going to cut that down to 6.
Yeah.
We're going to have you do 3 2-hour shows.
Right.
And we're going to quadruple your money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're doing it.
Okay.
We're doing it.
What?
So, I get it.
Sure.
I totally understand it. So that's where Koepka's coming from. I will point out that 7 days ago, Koepka was asked about playing less. Why would I go? Because he said, why would I do that? And there's like, so you could play less. He goes, I play as much as I want now.
Mm-hmm.
See, so he addressed it then.
Yeah.
7 days ago yesterday, he addressed those questions. And he was indignant about it and said, I play whatever I want now. I've only played 2 times. Since March. What changed? We know what changed. Money changed. All right, now to money. Pat Perez is a guy who has been on tour for a long time. Top 50 money winner, by the way, without being great. I mean, he's great, but without being great compared to PGA Tour players. Mm-hmm. He's got, I think, 3 career wins, but he's made a ton of money. And for Perez, it came down to one simple fact.
For me, it's real simple. I'm 46. I've played 515 events. I've been on the road since 1998. Okay. I mean, I've been on the road longer than Matt Wolf has been alive. I have almost 4-year-old. I missed my son's birth last year. August 18, I get a call. My wife's going to labor. I'm in Jersey. I'm getting ready to start the FedEx playoffs. You know, I'm 116 on the list. I can't leave. I can't miss it. I can't get back. I can't get there and back without spending $150,000 in private flight. I'm not doing that. So I had to suck on it, and, you know, I had to miss my son's birth. And, you know, fortunately, I made the cut, and I moved up my status by playing all right, but it still sucked. You know, I have to tell him one day why I wasn't there. And, you know, once again, I'm a 30 to 33-week guy. Every year I've done it, and now I don't have to. And I get to be with them. I get to be with my family. At my age, this is an absolute golden opportunity for me. I get to play. You know, DJ's my captain. I get to play 7 this year, you know, and then whatever else in the future. It's a no-brainer for a guy my age. It's been on the road. I just had 3 weeks off. I feel great. I couldn't be more excited about this. And that's the bottom line, you know. The bottom line is I'm tired of being on the road every day, and I'm just – I don't have to do it now. And that's this group, this opportunity has been, it's like winning the lottery for me. It's incredible. I couldn't be more excited.
I mean, thank you. I just say thank you for the honesty, right? And it's true. It's hard. And by the way, for guys like Pat Perez, it's going to get harder based on the way the PGA Tour is going to evolve because they have to. It's going to get more difficult for players like Pat Perez to stay fully exempt on the PGA Tour. It's just going to. That's the trade-off they make to keep the stars where they are, giving the stars more money, a bigger slice of the pie. It's going to squeeze the rank and file. In every sport, though, that's the case. In every sport, there are stars. Look what quarterback salaries do in the NFL. Quarterback salaries in the NFL squeeze out the middle class.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of sports. All sports. But I keep hearing, though, that these guys are independent contractors. They're not really independent contractors. If you are a PGA Tour member, you have to operate under certain rules until the courts tell them otherwise. I don't know if the courts are going to do that. But you can pick and choose the tournaments you play. But if you play outside of the PGA Tour family, you need their permission. This is why these players have been banned. And the reason why the PGA Tour did not give them permission is because they recognize that the LIV Series is coming for them. It's coming after their players and their tour. So I want this to be a completely honest conversation. And I'm not going to get into the source of the money other than there's a ton of it and it is endless, and that is tipping the scales in their favor. There will be more players to go. There's no question in my mind the fields will continue to get better on that circuit. They're never going to be awesome, but the fields will continue to get better. That field this week is probably better than the PGA Tour field at the John Deere. It's actually, for the first time in a long time, the PGA Tour field will be the second best field among recognized tours. The European Tour stop in Ireland actually has a better field this week than the John Deere. It's not a great field. It just is not. But anyway, I appreciate the honesty from Brooks Koepka and from Pat Perez.
This is the Adam Gold Show.